Well, all right. Welcome to episode 4. I'm really excited about today's show. We're here with Kim and David as usual, but we have a very special guest, Diana Movius, with us today, our founder and executive / artistic director of both Movius Contemporary Ballet and Dance Loft on 14.
Welcome, Diana.
It's great to be here. I've never been on a podcast before, and I only recently learned how to listen to them. So this is exciting.
How has everybody's week been?
It's felt like weeks.
I know.
Yeah, I took in a space launch. It was pretty exciting. I had a group of friends. We all watched it on the TV. Everything went according to plan after a delay the day before. These two guys, Bob and Doug, they went up to space, went up to the ISS, that's the International Space Station. And it's interesting because they don't even know how long they're going to be there. Like, that's not part of the plan. The whole mission was to see if this would work in the first place.
Was it not 110 days?
They have an estimate. They don't have...
Oh, okay.
Return date. Yeah. So it's really long-term plans. But yeah, they got some people already up in the space station. I want to talk about that because Diana actually has done a piece in regards to space, and I actually made some of the projections for that piece. Do you want to talk about it, Diana?
Yeah. So I love seeing images of the Earth from space. First of all, I guess it was 10 years ago at this point that NASA did a final tour of the shuttles. And at the time, I was working near Union Station, and my colleagues and I got on the roof of the building, and we saw the shuttle fly around and make a big loop around the Capitol building.
That is so cool.
Yeah, and we were trying to take it in. You know, this was the end of an era. We didn't know what was next for space. So it's exciting that 10 years later, there is a next step, and they can use the SpaceX launching facilities to undertake that work.
Yeah, there was a large gap in between. The public had kind of lost interest in space exploration. And I think when Interstellar came out, then all these other space movies started coming out, and it kind of like rekindled our flame there.
Another area of interest with space is actually environmentalism. So I recall, and this is just me recalling what I learned in school, that, you know, the very first pictures of Earth from space really were just shattered people's perceptions of Earth and how it actually is kind of a small, vulnerable planet. We're all connected. You know, one part of the world affects the other part of the world. And over time, as astronauts have gone to space and looked out the window and seen the Earth, there's been this phenomenon called the overview effect. And the overview effect is, first, this incredible respect for Earth as a united, interconnected planet, and also its fragility, and also that, you know, we have the power to protect it. And so that idea of overview effect was what I wanted to convey in my piece, Ground Control, and why David's projections as part of that piece both zoomed out, looking at Earth as sort of a fragile blue orb, and zoomed in, looking at different land masses within Earth, was such an important part of the piece.
Yeah, and for anyone who has not seen that piece, I will be putting little snippets on our Instagram to take a look at. It was a really fun piece to perform. Both Etta and I were in that cast, and it was very entertaining.
It ended up being a more upbeat piece than I was perhaps anticipating. But there are still, you know, some moments that get to the more perhaps somber notion of overview effect, but
yes,
maybe in a more pleasant way. So, for example, there's a pas de deux that takes place on the moon in front of David's projections of the moon actually turning, and they're looking out toward the Earth. And at the end of the piece, this voice says, "It's time to go back, get back in." And the lead dancer there doesn't want to get back in and return to Earth. She wants to stay and take the Earth in all of its beauty.
Was that based on, because that actually happened during one of the first spacewalks. There was an astronaut who went out. He went out on the, I don't think it was the LEM, but he got to like just hang out there. And then they told him to come back. And he said it was like the saddest day of his life.
Oh
yes, that's sort of exactly what I was trying to convey, and I'm so glad to know that actually happened in real life, because it comes through really, really well in the music. Is by Mason Bates, and he's the composer in residence at the Kennedy Center. He does kind of this mix of electronic music with classical music, and this voice comes in saying, "Get back in," at the end of the pas de deux section, and you feel that. You know, whoever's playing the music is really, really sad. They don't want to get back in.
Wonder if those are original clips or maybe based off of original clips. Definitely a fun piece.
Okay.
Yes, especially when you have to face the back and you have to watch projections and stand still, and then you watch the projections and be like, oh yeah, I'm still dancing. There's a piece where there's a duo on stage dancing and there's three other girls, and we have to face the back for a little bit. And I will say it was very challenging not getting caught up in watching the pictures, the screen the whole time. Like, oh, where's the music? David, I will say I love the projections you did for that piece. It was super fun.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty fascinated about space too. So it was also a very fun project.
So yeah, so per Kim's point in that section of the piece, I remember feeling a tad bit frustrated with the dancers because no one could memorize the music.
Well, the music was a little tricky there too.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, we're staring at the back, the screen, for a pretty long period of time. So I had to actually train myself not to listen to the music. I matched up kind of where we were on the screen, the video, to be like, okay, now I have to move.
Yeah, it's not fair for me to expect people to always memorize music. That's an uncanny ability that I have, that I inherited from my dad, who had classical music literally blasting full volume several hours a day, every day growing up. But it's a handy skill to have as a choreographer and the dancer, because you always know when your cue is. But back to space, the piece tries to get at more of this notion of taking care of the earth and also humans' impact on the earth. And that's when some of the projections show like the city lights at night where you see the earth really glowing. You know, on the one hand, those are pretty images because everything is lit up. On the other hand, they're sad images because you see the massive creep of civilization. And so what we get to at the end is trying to have an uplifting feeling of yes, but also a little bit of an activist feeling of yes, I want to take care of the earth. It's mine. Gotta mobilize. We can be positive while we're doing it, but it's ours. It's ours to take care of, and we gotta act.
That's a wonderful point. Gotta take care of Mother Earth.
In addition to all the fun parts of Diana's piece, she likes to work with props. So that was another cool thing to do with ground control. We had these really fun glow bouncy balls, and that was cause for some calamity in some rehearsals. But all in all, like, so much fun, and it was really great visually. And so she's always bringing some fun elements into the rehearsal process and performance process. Obviously, you know, it's one and the same there. So it's always fun. So
I do think we have to mention the connection that Etta had with one prop in particular during one performance of Ground Control.
Oh God. Oh, this was the time that we had the performance in-house at the Dance Loft Theater.
Oh my God. Was it the black thing we were trying to hold the balls in?
No. I remembered to do that. So one thing that Kim's referencing is the fact that, well, Diana, you know, alluded to the fact that there is an issue with one of the props. And so the prop that I was saying that was the most fun to work with were these rubber balls that if you hit them, they would just glow random colors. They were bright. It was kind of like stars shooting. And so that was kind of the effect, because there'd be translucent rubber balls. And so it was brilliant. You know, but we had to work with what we had. So, you know, Kim and I did some research on finding these balls, and they were perfect for what we needed, like great size. But we also had to figure out, okay, so how do we use these props and how do we prevent them from rolling all over the floor?
Oh, yes.
So,
that was a blast.
I think this was right before our Nutcracker production. So we used a Drosselmeyer cape, which was textured. And one side, it was like regular cotton. The other side, it was like velvety. So it was perfect to just plop down on the ground. There was this one part where we all get together before the finale. And so we all run to the back to get the rest of the balls. And then we go into the last part and we put them on that cape so they don't roll away. Right before everybody picks up the balls to go to the back to pick up that cape, there was a ball that was left there. And I was like, oh no. I think I already had two balls in my hand. And so my first thought was to just, it was a reactionary thought to just get the ball off the stage. And so I throw it off, but it's a bouncy rubber ball. So this ball had come back to me, not twice, not thrice, but at least four, maybe five times. It was like a situation that kept on escalating. There wasn't a thought ever to like, oh, I need to like walk off stage and put it off, or like, if I roll it, maybe it won't come back. It was an instant reaction to throw it. And it happened several times after that. It didn't happen any other time after that day, I'll say. So that was...
Yeah, I was in the audience that night with Alvaro Palau, who's our ballet master and rehearsal director. And we honestly just started laughing because it was like the ball kept finding Etta. And Etta has a very busy choreography in that finale. She's running around the stage. She's... you know, stage right, stage left.
Can't believe I missed this.
Somehow the ball always found her.
That was the other bizarre part. It was like, it wasn't going anywhere. I was in the back left-hand side for the finale bit. And even it had rolled all the way out over to where I was from stage right. It was bizarre, but definitely hilarious. I would like to see a video of that. I'm sure someone had a video from that night.
So, hey guys, guess what I did last weekend?
What'd you do?
What's that?
I got to go to the beach for a few days. I was so excited to get out of the house. I mean, you know, it was a little chilly, but we did get like, you know, 2 days, get to lay on the beach for a little bit. I went with a friend of mine. It was nice to have just a change of venue, even though we weren't outside of the beach apartment for, you know, a lot of the time we stayed in. We went down last weekend and they started opening up 50% of the outside seating of restaurants. But we still decided it was better just to take food back to the apartment and kind of chill and eat there. The sun was nice, so we got a little bit of, you know, time in there. We got to go mini golfing because when you go to the beach, you gotta, you know, gotta have one day of mini golfing.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, so with the restaurants, we ate at this one place called the Crab Cake Factory, which was absolutely delicious because if you are from Maryland, like myself, you love a good crab cake.
Which beach did you go to?
Just Ocean City.
Ocean City, okay.
Yeah, just a few days to get away. You know, I went to the beach saying like, you know, even if it was rainy and terrible the whole trip, at least I got a change of venue. That's really, I just like needed like a few days. I love my family. I've been stuck with my entire family. Anyway, absolutely. So with these restaurants, what a lot of them are doing, they're doing takeout drink kits. So, you know, they have, for example, you know, margaritas or Bloody Marys. You can buy like the whole kit and then make it at home, which I just
did. You do that?
I didn't do the kit, but I did get a drink to go. What did I get? A margarita or a lemonade or something. They did their drinks, their Bloody Marys. It was no joke. They literally made a crab, like an actual crab, on top of the Bloody Mary, like with olive eyes, like actual crab. It was a whole crab on top of the Bloody Mary. It was a whole meal.
But the crab was made out of vegetables.
Cute. It was so cute. Oh my gosh. It was a whole crab.
A real crab?
A real crab. No, it was real.
Oh god.
So it was like your meal on top of the Bloody Mary. It was the cutest thing I've ever seen. Oh my gosh.
So they steamed the crab too. Was it ready to eat?
It was ready to eat.
Oh, cool.
Ready to eat. It had some Old Bay on it, you know, ready to go.
I think that's the best way to do a Bloody Mary is when you put a whole meal on it and you put some bacon, some pickles, some peppers, some shrimp. And you just have a whole, I think someone around here is either Northern Virginia or DC. It gets intense. There's like a whole burger on top of it. I don't know how they do that, but I hear they're also doing
whole meals on top.
In case you don't want to go to the beach for that, I think there are some places here also doing drink kits. So it's like,
yes,
if you're going to order something to go or for delivery, I think it's only carry out they do that.
Yeah.
So they're like, may as well buy in bulk. And then they're able to sell their product. So it's good for their business. Right. And then you're not frequently going back to the restaurant to pick it up. You can just pick up your gallon of tequila at one time.
Well, a lot of these restaurants are doing that. They're doing like, you know, you can buy your 24 pack of beers. They look like a liquor store.
That's funny to hear. I thought that, you know, Bloody Marys were already kind of indulgent because they had a whole stick of celery.
That's that dancer diet, everyone. Just
give me something to gnaw on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it was just so funny looking at this crab. because I thought it was fake, but I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, like I was reading the description. It was a whole soft shell crab on top of this drink. And it was so darn cute. I just can't get over it. It was so cute.
If you have like a restaurant around here that you really like and they're doing this carry out, even if it's not on the menu, you can call them up and say, hey, you got some of the mix and something like that. They'll do that because they have it. Like just because it's not on the menu, don't think they won't give it to you. Like if you want something, call up and ask.
Call. You never know.
That's right. I think David taught us this trick in episode 2, was it?
I think it was episode 1, but it didn't make the cut. So now it's making the cut. Now you get the tips and tricks.
David has all the good tips.
So always ask, folks.
Yeah.
I will say the number of people at the beach, not a lot of people had face masks on. We walked around with ours on. Most of the shops and stuff were open, but you had to have a face mask going in. But outside, there weren't a whole, obviously, you're not going to see anyone sitting on the beach with a mask on because that would be a super cute tan line. Can you imagine all of us after summer? Just picture that for a second. It's going to be the new fashion.
Very Phantom of the Opera.
There you go.
I'm proud of you for wearing your mask.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Even if you're on the beach.
I did not wear my mask while I was laying out in the sun, but everywhere else we had our masks on.
They say the virus does not survive in the sun.
That is good.
They say. Was the boardwalk really crowded? Did you find like you could have like 6 feet of space between people when you were?
No, we were trying to like stay on the side. We were just there for a little bit, just kind of, you know, moseying around. We didn't stay for long, but we were those people kind of like huddled on the side trying to walk and avoid people. But there were a lot of people just like no mask, no nothing. Just
yeah. Hopefully there won't be any fatalities and we're not on too high of a rebound at this point.
Yeah. But overall, the beach was super fun. And I'm glad I got to, you know, just have a change of venue for a few days.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how fun was it?
10 being the most fun.
10 being the most fun. The greatest beach you've ever been to.
I'm not going to lie. I was at a 4. Even got a 4 just because I was so excited to get away. Maybe even a 5. Just I was so excited just to get out of the house and drive.
That's good.
And drive. Just something.
We've had a lot of fun on the show, but I did want to take some time to acknowledge the Black Lives Matter movement. Dance Loft is dedicated to doing more than just posting a statement on our social media. And speaking as the marketing director here, I really want everyone to know that we are working on something. And when we have more information on that something, we will be happy to share it. But in the meantime, we do want to express that we stand in solidarity with the movement. We are very much with the protesters and believe that this is an important issue that needs to be addressed and acknowledged. We'll be addressing more of this in a show down the road, but I did want to take the time to acknowledge and recognize that it's in our thoughts, in our minds, and it's important to us.
That's right. Black Lives Matter. And we want to give not just a section of our podcast, you know, and dedicate that time to a discussion that embodies that. But we want to also, you know, we want to take our time and we want to have a whole show dedicated to that so we can give it the time that it deserves.
Absolutely. And especially being in the arts community, and what our space is all about being very diverse. Yeah, we feel it's definitely very important, you know, in the arts to be diverse and, you know, being fully supportive of everyone that comes into our space and, you know, our community. I'm actually going to be doing a little project on Tuesday so I can share a little bit more with you guys next time on kind of what I'll be doing. So I'm super excited for that as well. But, you know, our schools, anybody who rents our space, we want them to, you know, feel completely free and open and, you know, have obviously every opportunity, because that's what makes our community so special, is having that diversity.
It's very true, Kim. We definitely want to provide a safe space for everybody. And I just want to say one last thing on that. The movement is very much in recognition of all lives mattering, but the Black Lives Matter movement specifically is the house that's on fire right now.
Yes, it is.
And that's why we address it and, you know, make this important.
Absolutely.
We have been in contact and we have reached out to the local chapter organization, and we want to make sure that before we put out any sort of formal statement, we are asking the organization directly, like, how can we be a better ally? What can we do? What action can we take? What would you like us to help with? We don't want to just, you know, do what we think is right and what's best. Of course we do, but we also want to hear it, you know, firsthand. So before we take any further action, we're going to see how we can best support the community. So stay tuned on our social media platforms, DanceLoftDawn14 Facebook and Instagram accounts. And we will see you next time, or we will not see you next time. You'll hear us next time. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, so this has been Kimberly,
David,
and Etta. And thank you so much to our special guest, Diana. We're so happy to have you join us, and we're looking forward to your next visit. Toodaloo!
Ta-ta!
Ciao!
Up.